This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We now come to some of the abilities that the jinn have that perhaps would seem supernatural to us or would seem to be to us very, very strange. And again, I'm kind of in the middle, I'm kind of neutral as to whether all of the jinn have these abilities or whether these abilities remain with some of the jinn as opposed to others. And if anything, I lean to the latter opinion, that perhaps there doesn't seem to be an evidence that this is something that all of the jinn have the ability to do, but this is perhaps something that some of them have the ability to do and some of them don't, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. One is the ability to move extremely quickly from one place to another, and from this we have the ayah in Surah An-Naml in which the ifrit from the jinn promises to bring the throne of the queen of Saba to Sulaiman before he stands up from his place. So the ability to move extremely quickly from one place to another. The ability to ascend very high up, and we mentioned the ayah in Surah Al-Jinn. And in this, I think it's worthwhile reading the hadith in Bukhari from the hadith of Abu Hurairah that the Prophet ﷺ said, when Allah decrees a matter in heaven, angels beat their wings in submission to what He says with a sound like a chain beating on a rock. Then when fear is banished from their hearts, they say, what has your Lord said? They say the truth, and He is the Most High, the Most Great. So those who are trying to eavesdrop from the jinn, hear it. And those who are trying to eavesdrop are standing one on top of the other. So he hears a word and passes it on to the one beneath him, who passes it on in turn until it reaches the lips of the sorcerer or the soothsayer. Sometimes the flaming fire will hit him before he passes it on, and sometimes he will pass it on before he is hit, and he tells 100 lies along with it. Then it is said, did he not tell us on such and such a day that such and such a thing would happen? So the fortune teller is believed for the one word that was heard by the jinn from the heaven. So this explains to you how the fortune telling works. And from this is their ability to change shape or to take certain forms. We had the hadith of the snake jinn in Medina. And likewise, the Prophet ﷺ affirmed their ability to touch a person or to possess a person. And in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, the shaitan flows through the children of Adam in the way that the blood flows. Once we've talked a little bit about the jinn, we need to talk about what the jinn are not. So we need to explain and emphasize that the jinn are not the spirits of the dead. And this is a misconception that exists among many, many non-Muslims, that the jinn are the spirits of the dead. They are the ghosts of, you know, your ancestors who have long passed away. Also that the jinn are not all-powerful and they are not to be feared. And in this regard, I say to you, if I told you, or if I mentioned to you, and I say this to people a lot, if I told you that birds can fly, it wouldn't leave anyone to have any nightmares tonight. If I told you that fish can swim in the sea, it still wouldn't lead you to have any nightmares at night. But as soon as I mentioned that the jinn can fly, I can't sleep, I'm terrified. They are a creation from the creation of Allah. If the one who made the birds fly wills, he can make the jinn fly. If the one who made the fish swim in the sea wills, he can make the jinn swim in the sea. This is from the matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He decrees and He decides for whoever He wills. And it's not for us to become scared of the jinn or to become fearful of the jinn. And indeed, Allah forbids you from this in one of the most important ayat when it comes to our belief in the jinn. And this ayah is in Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 175. So it's 3175. 3 is Ali Imran, and 175 is the ayah. إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. This is only the shaitan who makes you scared of his allies. Don't be scared of them, but be scared of me if you are really believers. How sad is it that a people are actually scared of the jinn, the fear that is deserving to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And yet, they're not scared of Allah with that fear. They're not frightened that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could afflict them, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could misguide them, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could take their life away, but they're frightened about the fact that the jinn could do so. And this is completely wrong. And this ayah establishes for us the methodology of the shaitan in confusing people and in convincing people that they have the ability to harm you and the ability to touch you and the ability to afflict you. And the idea behind this is to make you fear them. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Two ayat before this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who all the people gathered, when the people gathered against them, the companions, when all of the Ahzab, the confederates, gathered against them, the people said to them, the non-Muslims said to them, that everyone has gathered against you. In other words, you're destroyed now. The whole of Arabia has gathered against you. So you should fear them. And then Allah says, it increased them in iman. And they said, sufficient for us is Allah, and He is the best disposer of affairs. So look at the reaction of the companions. The whole of the Arabian armies, one by one by one, they all came to attack Medina. And they only served to increase the companions in faith and for them to say, sufficient for us is Allah and He's the best disposer of affairs. And then after another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is only the shaitan who makes you fear his allies. From the men and from the jinn. Don't fear them, but fear me if you are really believers. So we need to direct our fear towards Allah and our concern towards Allah, not towards the jinn. The jinn are another creation from the creation of Allah. And if Iblis and all of his army came against you to harm you with something, they wouldn't be able to harm you unless Allah allowed them to harm you. And if they all of them came to help you or to protect you against something, they wouldn't be able to protect you against something that Allah had not willed to protect you against. And in this, I emphasize everybody to link between the previous lesson and this one with the hadith of Ibn Abbas in the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi. And this hadith is absolutely one of the most fundamental hadith in Islam. And it covers a huge amount of protection from the jinn, and it develops this knowledge that you shouldn't be fearing the jinn. And that is the hadith of Ibn Abbas, احفظِ اللَّهَ يحفظك. Ya ghulam inni u'allimuka kalimat. O young man, I'm going to teach you some words. So it's the hadith that begins, O young man, I'm going to teach you some words. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned a number of things. And Ibn Abbas was about somewhere between 8 and 10 years old when this hadith was said to him. He was a very, very young boy. Look at what the Prophet ﷺ instilled in his children, in the young people around him. احفظِ اللَّهَ يحفظك. If you guard the rights of Allah, and you guard the limits set up by Allah, and you stick to the obedience of Allah, Allah will protect you. احفظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَك. If you guard the rights of Allah, and you stick to the limits of Allah, you will find Allah to be in front of you, guiding you to the straight path. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask anybody, ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you seek help from anybody, seek help from Allah. And then came the point that we mentioned, that know that if all of the people gathered against you to harm you with something, they would not be able to harm, or to benefit you with something, they would not be able to benefit you with something that Allah had not written for you. And if they all came together to harm you, they would not be able to harm you with something except that Allah had written it against you. The pens have been lifted and the scrolls have dried. And in another wording, تعرف على الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Come to know Allah at times of ease, and Allah will know you at times of difficulty. If you want Allah to be there for you when things are difficult, make sure that you worship Allah when things are easy. Otherwise, everybody worships Allah when things are difficult. When things are difficult, everybody turns to Allah and starts praying and starts reading the Quran. But the key to it is, or the secret to it is, to be worshipping Allah when things are easy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there for you when things are difficult. Another misconception that we want to remove regarding the jinn is that the jinn are not fallen angels. The jinn are not fallen angels. And again, this misconception exists among some Muslims, but primarily among non-Muslims, that the jinn are fallen angels or that Iblis was a fallen angel. And the confusion among the Muslims tends to be from the statement of Allah, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. They all prostrated except for Iblis. And what we say about this is a simple feature of Arabic. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. Iblis was from the jinn. And Iblis in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah narrates or relates from Iblis that he said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارِ. You created me from fire. And the jinn are those who are created from fire. So we have two clear proofs in the Quran that Iblis was a jinn. But why does Allah say all of the angels prostrated except Iblis? This is a normal feature of the Arabic language, in which we say things like, all of the students left except the teacher, all of the players left except the fans. This is a normal use of the Arabic language. However, when people lost the Arabic language and became far away from it, and it became colloquialized, and they lost the classical Arabic, they became confused, and even many people who speak Arabic became confused by this. And they said that, no, it seems that Iblis is an angel. Whereas there's no evidence for this. If you look at the poetry of the Arabs, if you look at the Quran, if you look at the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the evidence of pure Arabic language, it's extremely common to make an exception from something that is not part of the group that you are making the exception from. So you say, for example, all of the students left except the teacher, even though the teacher is not a student. And you say all of the players left except the fans. This is normal Arabic in classical Arabic. And so there's no evidence that Iblis was an angel. Rather, there are two evidences in the Quran. One is the statement of Allah, كان من الجن in Surah Al-Kahf, he was a jinn, from the jinn. And the other is the statement of Iblis, خلقتني من نار, you created me from fire. And it's well known that the angels were created from light and the jinn were created from fire.